No, the Bible says here that Solomon is young and tender and the work is great. I may not be great, but I get to be a part of a great work. All the young people sitting down here and spread throughout the auditorium. You can be a part of a great work even if you're young. You don't have to wait until you're 25, 26 and then flip a switch and say, okay, now I'm going to serve God with my life. That's not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life, whether you're 25, 26 or 76, God's plan is that you do His will and understand we are part of a great work today. We get to serve God. Verse 2, now I've prepared. This is David speaking. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and of 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Can I tell you today that I'd like to speak to you on the subject of something that so much of the world's goods have been given to in order to find. I want to speak to you today on the subject of something on Sunday school here and teach us from this passage of Scripture about something that every person, whether you like it or not, you're looking for it. You're searching for what we're about to talk about today. You're looking for what we're about to get into today. And can I tell you today, it's just one simple word that you want and that I want and that I believe everyone wants, and it's this: happiness. We are all searching and looking and striving to find happiness. Can I tell you today, I don't want to live my life as an old grump. You ever heard that statement, some people are so low they can spit on the floor and slide under the door? You know, their nickname is Chief Raincloud. That's not me. I don't want that to ever be me. Standing out in the lobby today, a dear brother, I didn't get his name, but man, he walked up to me and said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Evansville, Indiana." He said, "Well, I'll pray for you. You should be from Michigan." And I mean, just right off the bat. I don't know if I can debate that or not. It's been great. Y'all have some beautiful countryside up here. But you know what struck me about that man? He was happy. You know what? We shouldn't be going around life negative, upset, depressed, discouraged, defeated, downhearted. That's not us. We serve a living Savior, my friends. Why should I be discouraged? His eyes on the sparrow. I know He's watching me. I know God is watching after me today. If I really, and same for you. If we sat down with a piece of paper and for Sunday school, if I just turned my notes over today and I took my pen out and I asked you to do the same and we just started writing, you know, we'd write all the way up until 2, 3, 4 o'clock today about all the things we have to be happy for. There are so many ways that we can be happy, but can I tell you, it's also one of the most lacking ingredients in lives today. I work with young people today. I get to see young people who are not happy. They're not happy. They might have a smile on their face, but they're not happy. They might have a good attitude, and that's admirable, but they're not happy. Can I tell you today that there have been some scientific studies that have, they've tried to discover, they've tried to look and they've tried to research what causes happiness. And I looked at 10 or 15 of these scientific studies and I just Googled them and I looked at all of the different things on the internet I could find about what brings happiness. And you know what? There were some common denominators and I put them in my notes today. Can I tell you the number one common denominator in those studies was this? Money never brings happiness. It never does. It never does. The Bible says, and by the way, that shouldn't surprise us. It's a scientific study, but the Bible says, there is that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. Can I tell you today, riches make themselves wings and fly away. My wife and I have been married almost 2 years, and we're expecting our first child, a young boy. It's going to be a man child. Thank the Lord. We're looking forward to that. And his name's going to be Eli Michael Russ. And you know one thing, excuse me, there we go. You know one thing that we've discovered about having a baby? It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money. Donald, Brother Donald, Pastor Donald down here is up going, yeah, I know, tell me about it. It costs a lot of money to have, to maintain that baby afterwards. You know why? Because God never intended us for us just to have a lot of money. Now, wait a minute. If you have a lot of money, God's blessed you. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a lot of money. God never intended us for us to love a lot of money. The love of the money is the root of all evil. Money will never bring you happiness. Here's what they said in those studies. Relationships, not money, not success, brings happiness. You think that might be why in 2 John 1:12, he said, I trust to come into you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Why? Because he understood the importance of relationships. Can I tell you, you're really going to hurt yourself by pushing people away all the time. You're going to hurt yourself by bringing the wrong relationships in. I'm so thankful today that I have a friend. His name is Donald Savini. Can I tell you, we talk all the time. And you know, we have best friends in life. And he said this, you don't just have one best friend. Maybe you do, but Donald has a lot of best friends. And I feel like I've got a lot of friends. But you know, Donald and I, Pastor Donald, I need to be respectful today, we've many times talked about that verse that you said, Pastor Rich, iron sharpeneth iron. Because it's been our relationship for the last 5 or 6 years that's really kept us going a lot of times. Because we're good friends. We must have relationships. It's not the money, it's the relationships. Then there's also another thing that they said will provide for you some happiness. Hard work. Hard work brings happiness. Well, that should also come as no surprise. Ecclesiastes 8:15. Then I commended mirth because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. Solomon knew it. He said, the harder I work, the happier I am. Smiling brings happiness. Wait, you mean, hold on, Brother Stephen. I smile because I'm happy, and when I'm happy, when I'm happy, when I'm not happy, I don't smile. No. Literally. Smiling can make you happy. Smiling releases chemicals into your body that can bring happiness back into your life. Seriously, it can. You say, well, I'm upset. I'm not going to smile. I'm going to frown. Can I encourage you this morning? Let's just be happy. Turn that frown upside down. Go ahead. Do it. It's fine. In junior church, Brother Donald, we still do the four ups. Remember those from Bible college? The first one is sit up. Everybody has to sit up. And I always tell them, all right, everybody slaps down real low. And we all slap down in our chairs. And I'm up with the microphone in junior church. And then I say, all right, the first up is sit up. And we sit up. And everybody gets quiet. And the second up is hush up. And the third up is listen up. And we all touch our ears. And the fourth up is, and this is my favorite one, smile up. Man, that doesn't even rhyme. That doesn't even go with the four ups. But it works every time with the children. I look down the rows and we have a contest. I go every row and I look and I say, are you smiling? Are you smiling? And, you know, you can see him like trying not to smile. You know, looking at me. Then I catch their eyes. Man, you know, we have a great time. It's a great time. But you know why? Because smiling. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good. How? Like a medicine. Imagine that years and years later, they're finding this out scientifically. That a merry heart, happiness actually is good for you. It's good for you. By the way, giving. Not just your money. Oh boy, he's another one of those preachers. No, not just your money. Giving brings happiness. You can't, to love is to give. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. To love is to give. By the way, gratitude. USA Today did a study that said gratitude literally brings more happiness. A can-do positive spirit. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All that to say this today. Happiness is not an attitude. It's a condition. It's a lifestyle. It's not just one thing. Oh, today I'm happy and tomorrow I'm not. Happiness can be all the way straight across the board, but it's up to you. What in this passage of Scripture got them to the point in verse 9 where it says, then the people rejoiced. And the Bible says later, then David rejoiced with great joy. I'm a little envious of that at times. Man, I want to be that. I want to be there. I want to rejoice. How do I do that today? Number one, if you will, look with me, please, in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in verse 1, it says this, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. May I tell you today this, listen, number one, God's will was accomplished. Let's back up in time a little bit. King Solomon, you know the story. Adonijah, his half-brother. Notice that David was on his deathbed. Both of their fathers were David. And he noticed that, and so prematurely, he took the throne by force. And you know what? Many people went along with him. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't what the king wanted. It wasn't what God wanted. And so Bathsheba and the prophet, they went, Nathan the prophet and Bathsheba, caught wind of it. And they heard about, oh boy, Adonijah's going to take over the kingdom. And so they went to David. And David immediately said, no, that's not what we're going to do. And so they had a big coronation right away. And they named Solomon, the young man, the king. Can I tell you, it was not Adonijah's place. It was Solomon's place. Solomon was to be the king, the wisest king that ever lived. And when God's will was accomplished, number one, they found happiness. The Bible, and you can read the story or other places in the Bible about how there was a great shout in the king and everyone was rejoicing. Why? Because God's will was done. You cannot have happiness in your life if you are out of the will of God. It's impossible. It's not possible. Teenagers today, it's not possible. Young people, it's older people today. It doesn't matter. Adults, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're out of God's will, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to be happy. You will be miserable outside of the will of God. We must be within the will of God. Romans 12 says this, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sounds like good things to me. Good, acceptable, perfect. I don't want bad and unacceptable and imperfect things in my life. I want the good and acceptable and perfect will for my life. Maybe today, in this room, yet the people who have chosen to come to church today, perhaps today you've been out of God's will. Perhaps today you're sitting here listening to me and you're not shaking your head on the outside, maybe, and I don't blame you. But on the inside you're going, he's right, folks. There may be some mom and dads in here today who need to tell their kids, don't ever get out of the will of God because I did when I was your age. There may be some grandmothers and grandmothers, grandfathers, the same thing. Today we must be in God's will. Can I tell you, there was also something else? There was a vision for the future. A vision for the future. Verse 2 says this, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold and silver. And he goes through all the different things to be prepared for God's house. Can I tell you something today? David never got to see God's house built. This is the temple that Solomon built. But David, he could see down the road and he said, I've got a plan and I'm going to leave this plan in action. What is vision today? Vision is taking a snapshot of the future and bringing it into the present. Your pastor today may have a vision that God has given him for this church. Because where there is no vision, what? The people perish. There is a vision for the future. Well, I want to be happy today, Brother Stephen. Well, why are you living your life like 10 years down the road doesn't even matter? Young people have a big issue with that. Young people have a big problem with that. And I'm a young person. We sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. Oh, well, this isn't working out for me right now, so I got to drop out of church. There's no vision. Oh, well, I'm going through a big trial right now, and I can't see past that. So I'm going to stop doing what God wants me to do. There's no vision. There's got to be a vision saying, I don't know what's around the bend. But I do know that when the Bible actually said that, where there is no vision, the people perish, it was primarily talking about the Word of God. It wasn't necessarily talking about your ideas and my ideas. If you want to be happy today, number one, God's will's got to be done in your life. Number two, you have got to have some vision. Get a vision. Get a vision today for your area. Parents, get a vision for your kids. Get a vision for how you're going to raise your kids. Kids, get a vision for your life. So I don't know what God's going to, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going to go to Bible college. I don't know if I'm going to go here. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. And I, you know, can I tell you, it wasn't very long ago I was there. I used to be afraid at night. You all are going to think this is silly. But I used to be afraid at night and lay awake thinking about this thing about the will of God. You know, is God going to make me do something I don't want to do? Is he going to make me marry an ugly girl? You know, well, is that going to happen? I know you. Yeah, I know it's silly, but I used to think, you know, but God doesn't work that way. And you know what the devil was just trying to get in my life and inhibit my vision and my desire to serve him? There's got to be today, there's got to be vision, and there must be a determination, full steam ahead, goals, purpose for my life, living for God, living for people. But there's also something else today in this passage of scripture that brought them happiness. Verse 3, David said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above. There's got to be sacrifice. There's got to be sacrifice if you want happiness today. Friends, I want to be happy. I know you want to be happy. I know nobody in here wants to leave these doors, walk out these doors today depressed. I hope you don't today. But when we withhold and withhold and withhold, oh, I'm not sure if I can commit to that. It might be in your marriage. In this case, it was in the church that there was great sacrifice. And we could go all day on that, and we won't. But by giving to God, every time you drop a dollar on the offering plate, that's the only money you'll ever see again, because it becomes eternal right away. It's sacrifice. Giving over and above, David said, of mine own proper good. He sacrificed. Can I tell you this, by the way? If you look over in verse 6, it says, then the chief of the fathers, the princes, the captains, the rulers offered willingly. Let me just bring this to your attention. We'll move on from this point. It wasn't the women who were sacrificing. It was the men. It was the men. It was the fathers. It was the princes. It was the rulers. And God says this, if men as leaders of the house and leaders of the home and the head that God has set over the home we'll get into this thing of sacrificial giving, your time, your money, all of these things. You know, don't think, oh, you know, all they want is my money. That's not true. God just wants you. And if he has you, he's got your pocketbook too. And he's got your time. And he's got your ministry. And he's got your relationships and all of those things. But you've got to sacrifice. Today, are you withholding? Ananias and Sapphira did. You know, they were punished so severely because they lied. But they also withheld. Would God have blessed them any less if they had given all? No. There's got to be sacrifice. Then lastly today, before we end Sunday school, I'd like to say this. God has got to get the glory. He's got to get the glory in your life. What was the first one? The first one was God's will was accomplished. You've got to be in God's will. The second one was there was a vision for the future. Looking down the road, taking a picture of that thing and bringing it right in. David never saw the tabernacle or the temple, rather. David never saw that. But he set it up so Solomon could. He had a vision for what was going to happen even after he was dead. Then we find that there must be sacrifice. But we also find God's got to get the glory. God must get the glory. Verse 10, look with me if you will. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor came of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is it to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our Lord, all this store that we have prepared to build thee, and house for thine holy name, cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all of these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly with thee. Can I tell you that a man who worked as hard as David could have stood up and said, wow, finally, all my hard work has paid off. Wow, I put so much time into this. Oh, you know, dads could say, well, I sure have invested a lot into my kids. I sure have put a lot into my wife. It's about time I got some respect. Moms could do the same thing. Kids could find a way. But you know what? None of it would be justified. Because David said, everything that we've given you today came of you in the first place. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to Jesus. Loomis Park Baptist Church, and just like my church, Bakey Road Baptist Church, there will be no happiness in your life. There will be no happiness in your church. There will be no happiness in your family, unless you're willing to say, okay, God, I give you the glory. Now, this is Bible today, folks, and I want you to understand today that my heart is that I'm not perfect in any of those things. There are times I just want to hold back. What's my time? This is my time. I don't want to give God more than, you know, I don't want to give God too much because then I lose control. God, I don't have enough money to drop that much into the offering plate after he convicts me. But can I tell you today that when I'm in God's will, I'm the happiest I could ever be. I was talking to Donald. We were praying this morning at about 9 o'clock. And I prayed, and I just for some reason I remember praying this. I said, Lord, I love serving you. Sometimes I do it in my own power. Sometimes I do it the wrong way. But I love serving him. And I know I'm doing what I was called to do. And then also, we got to understand vision. There's got to be vision. It can't just be about the here and now, because that's going to pass. It's going to be gone. What are you doing to leave a legacy behind? Whether it's for your kids, your church, your family, your friends, co-workers, it doesn't matter. Where's your vision? I talked to a man in our church just a couple weeks ago, and he said he's a coal miner. He's a great guy, just a burly guy, you know, redneck kind of guy. We got those down there in the South, rednecks. You may have them up here, I don't know. But he looked at me and he said, Brother Stephen, and he's got a little bit of an accent, you know. He's like, Brother Stephen, I got a 5-year plan. I said, really, Brother Dell, what's your 5-year plan? He said, 5 years I'm going to have this and this, and I'm going to have all my coworkers come to church at least once. Said, that's pretty good, Brother Dell. I'm going to get them the gospel at least in some way, every single one of them. And he went through his whole plan about how he was going to be a witness and a testimony at his work in the coal mines. And I thought, what's my 5-year plan? I just want to be alive in 5 years. Good night. Vision. Sacrifice. Trust me. Start giving and you'll get happy. Start giving. The preacher doesn't stand up here and preach on tithing and offerings and missions to make you miserable. That's not why it's done. That's not why. He does it so you'll be happy. The Bible says, prove me now herewith that I may open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. Blessings so much you can't even handle them. sacrifice. And then this, God's got to get the glory. Give Him the glory with what He's for what He's done in your life. He took you from sin and strife. Oh man, I got all the words wrong, but it's a good song. Give Him the glory today. What have you done this week just to stop and say, thank you, God, that was you? What have you done this week just to stop and say, God, I know I worked hard on this, but I couldn't have worked hard if it wasn't for you. In everything, God must get the glory. And then at the end, verse 9, then the people rejoiced. Friends, you can have joy and you can have as much joy as you want, but it's up to you. It's up to me how much joy I get. And today, can I encourage you? Be happy. Just be happy. Decide to be happy. You decide. You choose. You find what is that perfect and acceptable work at will of God for your life. And you'll be happy. It's inevitable because it's a promise of God. It's a process that we must all go through. And God wants you today to be happy. He doesn't want you to be miserable. And you can be happy by following the principles of this book. Father in heaven, we thank you.